Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It's Thursday, February 20th, 2014. I'm your host, J.R. Davis. We're talking with former Congressman and Democratic candidate for governor, Mike Ross. We'll ask him about the campaign, recent polls, and the ongoing private option battle, and a few more subjects. But first, here are some headlines. Speaking of the private option, it once again failed in another vote in the State House yesterday. This time the tally was 68 votes in favor with 27 votes against. That compares to Tuesday's vote of 70 to 27. Remember, the measure needs 75 in the House to pass and move on to the Senate. It appears that the list of reps voting against the private option did not change. House Speaker Davy Carter, though, says the battle is far from over.
We can play this game every day, and I'm prepared to do that, and we'll do that, but the end result's going to be the same.
Arkansas students could be getting fewer dollars in lottery scholarships because of slumping ticket sales. Lottery commissioners met Wednesday afternoon to talk about the decline in revenue. The agency says they have nearly $7 million less in scholarship funding than they did last year. Commissioners tell us their goal moving forward is to find ways to increase sales and trim expenses to get more money. Joining me now is former Congressman and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mike Ross. Thanks so much for taking time for us this morning.
Hey, JR. Great to be with you.
Well, we haven't talked in a while, and we've got a lot to talk about. I know, obviously, campaign in full force. We're just a few days away from the filing date. Talk about the campaign a little bit, what you guys are seeing out there on your travels.
Well, you know, we're off to a tremendous, tremendous start. We're traveling Arkansas, sharing our positive vision for the future of this state, to cut taxes for working families, improve education for our children, and create more good-paying job for our people. And it's really resonating. You know, I got in this race 8 points down. One of the most recent polls had me 3 points up. Another poll has us now tied. We feel really good about that. I've never been on the ballot for 75% of the people in Arkansas, and of course, the likely Republican nominee, mm-hmm. Asa Hutchinson, well, he's been running statewide for 28 years. His brother was a senator for six, and you know the Ross name's not nearly as well known as I've not been on the ballot for 75% of the people in Arkansas, and I don't have family that's held statewide office, and so. A lot of momentum. Governor Beebe's endorsed us. We're very proud of that. He's someone that I've worked with for the last 25 years, spent 10 years with him in the Arkansas State Senate. 65 of the 75 county sheriffs, including the sheriffs there in Crawford and Sebastian and Washington counties, have endorsed us, and 56 of the 75 county judges. And so we're really humbled by the outpouring of support we're receiving from people from all walks of life.
And, you know, we got the Impact Management Group did a poll, the most recent poll, and it's got you guys at a dead heat right now. I know that in their poll, and you break it down in the first district, that Hutchinson has a slight lead in District 2, though you have a bigger lead, and then it goes back and forth in the 4th, obviously, you representing that district for a while in Congress. It's going to be an interesting race for sure. We're seeing the Republican Governors Association put money into the race. We just saw an ad from the Democratic Governors Association on your behalf, so obviously a very close race to watch. Now, when you look at these polls, Congressman, what do you see from these polls? Do you take a lot into it right now, or not so much?
No, the only poll that matters is the one on November the 4th. Look, I started this election 8 points down. We ended up 3 points up, and then the Asa Hutchinson's wealthy out-of-state special interest friends came in and spent nearly $500,000 in less than 2 weeks, with, you know, misrepresenting the facts, distorting the truth, and lying about me and my record, and now the polls got us even. I mean, Impact Management's a Republican outfit, mm-hmm. and I mean, they timed that poll to do it at the end of about $500,000 worth of attack ads being leveled against me. And even with all those untruthful attacks, we're still tied.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on who's running what ad when, polls are going to go up and down.
Sure.
The only poll that really matters is the one on November the 4th, and we're very confident that we're going to win because we've got a positive vision for the future of this state.
And let me ask you this. Obviously, fundraising, I mean, you guys have been spot on fundraising a ton of money. Do you get frustrated when an outside group comes in, or when Republican Governors Association tries to make up for that lost fundraising ability from an Asa Hutchinson? I mean, do you get frustrated when you see what you've done, and then it's almost almost at a wash because of these outside groups? What do you think about that?
Well, it's not at a loss. We've outraised ASA 2-1. Mm-hmm. It's because our positive vision for the future of this state is resonating with everyday people all across this state. And I mean, yeah, the Republican Governor Association came in whacking me, and now the Democratic Governor Association is in matching what they did. And so, whatever out of state attacks come mm-hmm. my way, I'm very confident that there will be groups out there that defend my record by the same mm-hmm. amount, if not more. So that doesn't bother me at all. I don't pay attention to these out-of-state groups on either side of the equation. I can only control what my campaign does, and what my campaign's been doing is running positive ads, talking about my positive vision for the future of this state, cutting taxes for working folks, mm-hmm. improving education, creating more good-paying jobs.
Tell me about your tax plan. This is something we've talked a lot about, but again, we haven't spoken in a while, and I know you've been going around the state talking about it. So explain to me your tax proposal, your tax cut proposal, and then that against Asa Hutchinson's.
Well, I'll let Asa explain
sure.
explain his, but the to the core of the issue, it's the same debate that Asa Hutchinson had when he leveled untruthful attacks against Mike Beebe back in that governor's race in 06. I believe we need state income tax relief. We need state income tax reform. The bottom line is we need lower fare taxes. Our state income tax brackets, you know, what percent you pay depends on what income bracket, if you will, what your income is
right.
and where it falls. In 1971, we created six state income tax brackets, and they weren't indexed for inflation. And in 1997, the state legislature, and I was a part of this, we actually started indexing them for inflation in 97. But in 2014, they still haven't caught up because we never addressed that 25-year period between 71 and 97. And so, for example, in 1971, the median household income in Arkansas was $8,000 a year, and gas was 36 cents a gallon, and the average family in Arkansas was paying somewhere around 2.5% state income tax. Well, that same person, that same median household income today, is $40,000, and I don't have to tell you and your audience that gas is now over $3 mm-hmm. a gallon, and because those brackets weren't indexed for inflation. It put them in the top income tax rate bracket in Arkansas. So while we have six income tax brackets, people have the same buying power that they had in 1971, but instead of paying 2 or 3% state income tax, they've been paying 7% state income tax. And so the bottom line is this: six income tax brackets, 60% of the people in Arkansas are in the top two brackets. One out of every three people in Arkansas is in the top bracket. And my plan, 55% of the people in Arkansas will be in the bottom three brackets simply by going back to 71 and adjusting those brackets for inflation. The bottom line is this: a single mom working two jobs trying to make ends meet for her and her family, earning $34,000 a year, is paying the same state income tax rate as someone making $340,000 a year, somebody making $3.4 million a year. And there's nothing fair about that. The top income tax rate in this state should not start at $34,000. Under my plan, it will start at $75,100, and we're dropping it to 6.9%. The bottom line, here's what it means: if you earn $30,000 a year, you're gonna save $465. If you earn $40,000 a year, you're gonna save $665. If you earn $50,000 a year, you're gonna save $880. And if you earn $75,000 or more, you're gonna save $1,148 a year, putting people's money back into their own pocket. They'll go out, they'll spend it, they'll invest in the economy, mm-hmm. in the things that they need, in the things that they want, and it's a win-win for everybody, and it's the right thing to do. It's about tax fairness.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, there are proposals, and yourself and Asa Hutchinson have laid out your own tax cut proposals. But how do you go about, you know, let's say you win the governor's office, you come in on day one, you talk about those tax cut proposals. How do you lay something like that out to a legislature, you know, that they've already had some tax cuts? There's been people saying maybe we can't cut this out. I mean, like, kind of explain how you lay out and go about doing this.
Well, and this is the big difference between me and Asa Hutchinson's plan. A couple of differences. One is if you earn over $75,000 a year, you don't receive any tax savings under his plan. In fact, under his plan, if you make $74,999 a year and get a $1 raise at work, he's going to ask you to repay over $400 at the end of the year. The big difference between my plan and his, if you get right down to it, is how you pay for it. He says he's going to cut $100 million on day one as governor, and then he'll worry about funding education, Medicaid, public safety, and balancing the budget. I take the Mike Beebe approach, and I say it's a lot like the 06 race, because in 06, Governor Beebe said, we're going to eliminate the sales tax on groceries, but we're going to do it as we can afford it. And at the time, in 2006, you know, Asa he's been running for 28 years. He was running against Beebe back in 06, and he said, oh, no, we're going to eliminate it all at once. And, you know, in 07 is when that governor took office. Thank goodness it was Governor Beebe, and thank goodness he stuck with his proposal to phase it in or phase it out as we could afford it, because we all know the worst economic recession since World War II began in 07 and continued into 08. And you know, we would still be trying to dig ourselves out of debt had we done that all at once. As a result of Governor Beebe being a fiscal conservative, being fiscally responsible, and phasing it in as we could afford it, we were one of only four states in America that remained with a balanced budget in the height of the economic recession. So what I'm saying is we're going to phase this in as the state can afford it with net revenue growth. And I'll work with the legislature. I would prefer that we begin with those who need the help the most, and that's the working poor.
Let's get into another state issue, obviously, on the front and center right now, and that's the private option. We've seen it come up in the House twice and fail twice. It's going to be a battle. What are your thoughts on the private option, and where do you think the state should go from here?
Well, this is another big difference between me and Asa Hutchinson. If you call Asa today and ask him where he stands on the private option, he will tell you, or at least what he's told the press up until now, is he's still studying it. My goodness, the state legislature passed this a year ago. You know, it's been a year, and it's time to do the refunding of it, the annual appropriation funding of it. I mean, this was written and passed a year ago, and he's still studying it? Really? I mean, the bottom line is this. This is the most substantive policy issue facing our state today. He refuses to even take a position on it. My position is pretty clear. I would have voted for it. I would have signed it. As governor, I will continue to do my best to ensure that it continues to be funded. Here's why. Number one, this is not Obamacare. I voted against Obamacare four times. I voted to repeal it 23 times. This is so far removed from Obamacare that the state of Arkansas had to go to the federal government and get a waiver to be able to implement this bipartisan, market-based solution that Governor Beebe worked with the Republican leaders in the State House and State Senate to fashion. Number two, it saves the state $89 million a year, and here's how. As we drove to work today, we didn't see sick people laying in the ditches dying. I mean, we have uncompensated care programs to care for people that don't have insurance. We no longer need those programs with the Medicaid expansion. Everybody will be covered. The working poor will be covered. And so it saves the state $89 million a year, $89 million. When Governor Beebe signed $140 million in tax cuts last year, he said that he wasn't sure the state could afford that, but he thought maybe they could because of this $89 million savings. Number three, Obamacare, I'm against it. Most people are against it, but you know, it's the law of the land. The Supreme Court has ruled on it, said it's the law of land. They've tried to repeal it 40-something times. It's there. And part of Obamacare cuts reimbursements for Medicare for hospitals. So on the right hand, Obamacare cuts Medicare reimbursements. On the left hand, the Medicaid expansion helps make those hospitals whole again. It means hundreds of millions of dollars. A rural hospital in a town of 10,000 people, we're talking about $1 million a year. Something like UAMS, we're talking about $28 million a year. So it helps keep those hospitals open, and it helps offset the losses they're going to experience under Obamacare. And then finally, I mean, who are we talking about? It's not the people who don't want to work. They already qualify for Medicaid. It's the people that are trying to do the right thing and stay off welfare, but they're working the jobs with no benefits. And then finally, if we turn down this federal money, I can assure you the federal government's not going to use it to pay back China. They're going to ship it to places like Texas and California and New York. Governor Beebe, I think, makes a good analogy. Every time we fill up our car with gas, we're paying, a lot of money to the federal government in gas taxes. And it would be like us saying, oh, we don't need better roads. Just fix the roads in Texas and California and New York, and don't worry about us here in Arkansas. We'll be fine on our own. I mean, that's crazy. We would never dream of doing that. And so to me, if you take the Democrat and the Republican out of it, and let me be clear, I'm not running to be governor for the Democrats. I'm not running to be governor for the Republicans. I'm fed up with the extremes in both parties. And if you take the politics out of it and don't look at the D or the R and just look at it from a fiscally responsible, common sense kind of way, to me, this is a no-brainer.
Let me ask you about the campaign itself. It's very interesting because you go across the United States, you have people running for Congress or maybe statewide office or anything like that. You constantly hear it, and we heard it in 2008, 2010, that we don't need that Washington-type politics. We don't need that Washington-style politics. It's interesting in the state of Arkansas because in two of the more premier statewide elections in governor and lieutenant governor, you yourself are a former congressman. Asa Hutchinson is a former congressman. You've got Tim Griffin, who recently announced that he's running for lieutenant governor, who's a former congressman. I know you said you were fed up and that's the reason you got out, but this is going to be a very different, it's hard to say we don't need that Washington-style politics in Arkansas for either side. It's just interesting. I was just reading something about it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, look, here's the bottom line, is I was consistently listed by National Journal for each of the 12 years that I served in Congress as one of the most independent members of Congress. You can look it up. Number two, I chaired the fiscally conservative Democrats in Congress. We were called the Blue Dog Coalition. At one time, there were 54 of us, and I led the group of conservative Democrats. I was the go-to guy. I was the lead Democrat for the NRA for the entire 12 times I was in Congress. I've earned an A-plus rating from the National Rifle Association. I helped write the balanced budget amendment that we tried desperately to get both Democrats and Republicans to pass in Washington. Look, it became so partisan, so dysfunctional that I was fed up, like a lot of people in this state, and I was so fed up I quit my job. I didn't run again after having a big win in 2010. And the people that I've represented, they know the truth. They know that the only time Nancy Pelosi had an opponent for speaker, I was given the nominating speech for her opponent with her sitting on the front row. People know that I was against Obama on things like Obamacare, cap and trade, the bank, the Dodd-Frank bank reform that's hurt a lot of our small and community banks and made it more difficult for them to lend money to the people who need it the most. People that I've represented, they know where I stand on these issues, and that's why I think we can win statewide. Is a lot of people think I was representing a Democratic district. I wasn't. My district had the same Republican ranking as Michelle Bachmann's. And of course, people know who replaced me. It was Tom Cotton. I did not have a liberal district. I did not have a Democratic district. I won, and won by big margins for 12 years with the support of independents and the support of Republicans, and I think we've got a positive vision for the future of this state. I'll be honest with you, a year ago I didn't think I would ever run for office again as long as I lived. I got home, I realized I wasn't fed up with public service. I was simply fed up with Washington. You couldn't pay me enough money to go back to Washington. I've had it, but I can tell you, Arkansas is a small state. There's a lot more that unites us than divides us. We're all in this together, and the last thing we need to see in Arkansas is Arkansas politicians start acting like the majority of the politicians act on both sides of the aisle in Washington, D.C. So, as I said, I'm not running for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. I'm not running for the Republicans. I'm running to lead this state in a positive way, in a way that is fiscally responsible. And I'm committed to working with Democrats, Republicans. I'll work with anybody who's mm-hmm. willing to work with me to make life better for the people here in Arkansas.
I love doing these podcasts because obviously we get to chat a little bit more about those more in-depth about some of these crucial issues. It's also fun just to kind of get to know the candidates a little bit more. Tell me this. When you're out there, you're doing this every single day, your campaign is going to be a long campaign. As I mentioned earlier, we're a few days away from filing date, but we're not there yet. So it's going to be a long one. What ticks you off? I mean, what is it that, you know, what is something you hear? What's the joy about campaigning? And also, what's the thing that just really honestly just kind of ticks you off as a guy?
Oh, I love traveling this state and listening to people and their stories, their successes, their struggles. I think it makes me a better person. It makes me a better leader. I mean, none of us like waking up in the morning to an untruthful attack ad on TV. But look, you know, I discussed this with my family before I got in the race a year ago. And I'm willing to take the hits, regardless of how untruthful they may be, if that's what it takes to lower taxes, improve education, and create more good-paying jobs in this state.
So nothing really ticks you off, huh?
What now?
I said, so nothing really ticks you off, huh?
I'm a positive person.
I hear you.
And it's politics. You got to have a thick skin. And, yeah. And so, no, not really.
Not really. All right, one last thing, and we'll let you get out of here. I appreciate your time again. All right, so as governor, what will you bring to the governor's office that, you know, that our current governor, Mike Beebe, didn't? What will you do differently if elected? And talk on that, and then we'll let you get out of here.
Well, I think he's been a great governor, and he's got the highest job approval rating of any governor in America, and I'm honored, I'm humbled to have his endorsement and his active support in my campaign for governor. You know, I can't tell you that we would do anything a lot different than he did. I'm going to be a fiscal conservative. I'm going to be fiscally responsible. I'm going to balance the budget first. We're going to fund education, Medicaid, public safety first. And then as we have revenue growth, we're gonna pass meaningful tax cuts and tax reform, as I've outlined to you earlier today. But the bottom line is this: I want to be a governor for all the people. I want to work with everybody. I'm fed up with both political parties and how the extremes of both sides have really divided this country. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely convinced that in Arkansas. We were all raised on the same values. We believe the same things, and we can work together. And I believe I've got, from small business experience to my time in the state senate, 52 years of living and life's experiences. I think I've got the temperament, the steadiness, the compassion, to be an effective leader. To continue to move this state in the right direction.
Former Congressman Mike Ross and Democratic gubernatorial candidate for governor. Hey, thank you so much. I know you're busy, but I appreciate you taking time just to chat.
Oh, JR, it's great to be on with you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope people will get involved and learn more, and they can do that at MikeRoss.com.
All right, and hey, when you're up this way, let's chat on the desk, all right?
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much.
This has been another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. You can find all of our podcasts on nwahomepage.com and by clicking the local elections link.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.